Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is Bible Call Tape number 169. Should I have my baby baptized? You have dialed a Bible call with this question because you want to do the very best thing in the sight of God for your baby. You may wish now to rededicate your life to God and at the same time dedicate the life of your baby to God. Or you may have been taught that infants, being born into a like condition with sinful man, must be baptized to erase the consequences of sin from their lives. This last teaching is the doctrine of original sin, which is held by many of the major denominations. Briefly, it teaches that the souls of unbaptized infants will, if they should die, go to a place that is neither heaven or hell. There they will neither receive the punishment of eternal condemnation nor the blessings of heaven. To avoid this consequence, the doctrine of original sin teaches that infants must be baptized. To evaluate this doctrine, we need to find the Bible definition of sin. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, John defines sin as, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." That is, sin is wrongdoing. How man transgresses law is shown by James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. "But every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." These scriptures show that sin requires a transgression of law and a lust or a desire on the part of the sinner. Neither of these things that infants or young people can do, for they cannot understand law, and they do not lust. Thus, sin is impossible for the very young. But what about original sin? This doctrine is based very largely upon King David's lament, as recorded in Psalms 51 and verse 5. "Behold, I was brought forth in sin, and in iniquity did my mother conceive me." David said, "I was brought forth in sin." He did not say, "I was brought forth a sinner." The passage says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." That is, she acted wickedly when I was conceived. If a wife were to say, "In drunkenness my husband beat me," or if a child were to say, "In anger my father whipped me," none would attribute drunkenness to the wife or anger to the child. Neither can blame be placed on David for his mother's sin, and neither can the scripture be used as proof for original sin. This interpretation of David's statement is supported by Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Because a baby cannot sin, and because the doctrine of original sin is based upon a misunderstanding of David's statement, the doctrine is invalid. There is no need to have your baby baptized. The practice of dedicating a child to Christ through a baptismal ceremony is questionable. Such baptism might deter his future response or obedience to the clear commands that God has given to responsible believers, one of which is baptism for the remission of sins. Study Acts, the second chapter, in verse 38, and then chapter 22 and verse 16. And then read Romans 6, verses 3 through 11, and Galatians 3, verse 27. The Bible says not one word in favor of infant baptism. Nowhere in the Bible is there command or example for the baptism of infants. We must respect and obey the silence of the Scriptures, as well as respect and obey their applicable commandments. 2 John verse 9 says, Whosoever transgresseth, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. An Old Testament example tells of the death of two priests, Nadab and Abihu, who went beyond God's instructions, that is, who failed to heed the silence of the Scriptures. The record is found in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, which states, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." From this event we learn that God rejects worship which is not in strict accord with his will. In our daily affairs, we do not add beyond that which is prescribed. The druggist does not add Nimbutol to a prescription of Digitalis because the doctor has failed to tell him not to do so. Neither does the housewife add this same Digitalis to her cake batter because the recipe failed to tell her not to do it. If we reason that we can do any religious act because the Bible does not provide specific instructions against it, few things that our imagination can think of are barred from us. The Bible is a book of do's, not a book of don'ts. All commands and all examples of conversion in the New Testament are for persons of sufficient maturity for self-responsibility. The Scriptures, given a moment ago to define sin, also define the age of responsibility or the age of accountability. The age of accountability is when a child or an adult can learn the difference between right and wrong and becomes accountable to God for his actions. People will become accountable to God at different ages. Although the New Testament does not specify the age of accountability in years, the Old Testament shows that under the law of Moses, children were treated as adults at the age of 12. This is a rough guideline for us today. When a person becomes self-responsible in spiritual and moral matters, there are commandments he must obey if he is to please God. These are, he must hear the word of God and through it believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent or turn away from a life of sin and be baptized for the remission of sins. He must also confess the name of Jesus to mankind. Study Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, and then the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Read Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, and then Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. Here in study, Bible Call tape number 46, entitled, "How Can a Man Be Justified with God?" In this study, we have shown that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins is a commandment of God for those of sufficient age to be accountable to God. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6 proclaims, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." This scripture points out again that in the sight of God, the baptism of an infant for any purpose should not be done. The one baptism of Ephesians 4, verse 5, is for repentant believers. Infant baptism would be another baptism, because infants cannot believe or be repentant. Clearly, infant baptism is not in accord with God's Word, the Bible.
The message you have just heard.